Time for Elliot Friedman, Insider Hockey Night in Canada, NHL on Sportsnet. What? And the co-host of 31 Thoughts.
By and gave me a bit of a look.
Oh, is that what it was? Invite them in. I told you. It'd be so much better.
I got my first look of the first 3.5 hours. Just
our NHL Insiders brought to you by McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. Good morning, Elliot.
Greg, you must be a lot of fun at Christmas. This holiday sucks.
All holidays and parties. Yeah.
I got it. And you know what, Elliot? I got to tell you, I mean, before we get around to the Leafs, it was great. I did 3 years of junior hockey, and the home coach for all three of those years was Pascal Vincent. There was a lot of him in your 31 Thoughts this week. I hope that someone gives him an opportunity in the future to be a coach in the National Hockey League.
I think he's trending in that direction. There's no doubt about it, Elliot. And what do you have to do? You have to win and you have to develop, right? And that's kind of what he's doing right now. In Winnipeg, they've got a lot of good young players. And the thing that's successful is you look at Kyle Connor. He goes down to the AHL. He admits he's unhappy about it. He doesn't have the best mood about it. And what's he doing? He's back up, and he's a guy who scores last night to send them into overtime, and he's playing on their first line. And you get a guy like Roslovic. He goes down there, and he's developing into a player, too. If you turn guys into players, you're going to get your opportunity eventually.
And I will say this, if he ends up as a coach in the National Hockey League, the media in that market will be very happy to have this guy to cover. He will tell you what is. He does not hold back. Very honest man.
No, he had a lot to say. It was very interesting hearing him talk about how one of the reasons he took a job in Cape Breton was because he wanted to be forced to learn English. It's not too often guys will admit that when they get a big break like he did when he was named an assistant coach at Winnipeg, he started bawling in his car as he was driving. Didn't hit anything, thankfully. You know, there's not a lot of people who will admit that kind of thing, but he was unafraid to do it.
All right, the Leafs on their certainly their best role of the season. I don't know when the last time is they looked this good in back-to-back games or in three consecutive games. People were worried the break will stop their role. It hasn't. The defenses look great, and they are like at their eighth and ninth defenseman already. They still looking for one of these guys?
You know, it's funny. You know, Chris Johnston was on our show on Wednesday before the game against the Islanders, and he said, I'm not sure they're looking for a defenseman. And, you know, I think if you look at them now, Dermott is giving you a belief that he can play. And he's ready to, and not only can he play, but he can play right now. And, you know, if that's the case, when everybody's healthy, you've got Riley Hainsey, you've got Gardner and Zaitsev, and then you've got Dermott can play, you know, with Carrick right now, and you don't necessarily need to go get anybody else. You know, he had a play the other night against the Islanders at home where he kind of got beat by Tavares, and he got back into position and knocked Tavares off the puck. And I remember seeing that and going, whoa, like this is like, there aren't a lot of people who can make that play after getting beaten by Tavares on the initial move. And I think he's at least making them think that, you know, the best way to solve a problem is solve it yourself. And he's giving them a reason to believe they might be able to solve this themselves. I think we've got a chance to see here that they may stay internal on defense and they may change their number one priority to maybe adding another center like they did last year with Boyle.
It may be the smartest thing to do. Elliot Friedman joining us, by the way, Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Leafs at Bruins. Great game. They haven't played since the Hall of Fame weekend, so this is going to be awesome tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Chicago-Calgary, I want to squeeze a question on the Flames in later, given they're still reeling more than ever with the 7-4 loss last night. Yeah, it's not an indictment of Ron Hainsey that they play so well without him, but it wasn't nothing that they were served by youth last night. And if I said to you at the start of the year, well, they might, Elliot, play their best four-game stretch of the season with no Morgan Riley. Well, the way the first 20 games went, you'd never believe it.
No, you wouldn't. But you know what I honestly think? Like, I know we're focusing on the defense right now, Greg, but I think the bigger thing we've seen, we saw it against the Islanders, we saw it against the Rangers, and we saw it the back half of that game against Chicago last Wednesday, is that they look like last year's Leafs again. And they hadn't looked like that in about 3 months. And I think sometimes we focus on defense, but Toronto's best defense is to have the puck and attack and be fast and be creative with it. And the last 2.5 games, they're looking like that again. That makes your defense better. That makes anyone's defense better. And this decision to move Marner up, to make the changes, you know, without Polak and without Martin, you know, it's tough on those guys, but they're a faster team. And I just think Kapanen, too, I wondered if this was a showcase. I don't believe that anymore. I think this is Kapanen being given a shot to prove he deserves to be in the lineup long-term, and he can be in there next year if they lose guys like Komarov and Van Riemsdyk. I think that we're finally looking at them saying, okay, this is our group, this is our roster, and we're going to go with them for a while. And honestly, they're better this way, and they're more importantly to me and us, they're more fun to watch this way.
Yeah, and for the first year in ages, fans would be really good with it. They weren't necessarily in 13 when they were a surprise playoff team. Matt Barnaby was on with Elliot and I yesterday and said it's incumbent upon the Islanders with Tavares. Now, they get beat badly twice in a row, actually, Florida and the Leafs. But it's incumbent upon them to move him if they can't get to a deal. They've got to put the last possible piece of paper in front of him before the deadline, because that's what you do when you're the Islanders or the Thrashers when they had to do it with Hossa and later Kovalchuk. Do you think, though, that consideration is there because the Islanders have such a tenuous spot right now that they just can't let him go for nothing?
I don't think they will. I think that they will hold on to him until he gives them an indication he's not going to sign. And if that doesn't come before trade deadline, they're going to hold him. I really believe that. And I think that is their decision, and that's what they're going to live with. And I think the only thing that might save them from the worst-case scenario is, because you can give a player an extra year, if they have to trade him later, they'll try to trade him to someone and get the and see if that will help getting them the extra year. But I know this is what everybody thinks. I've heard a lot of people say it, but I just don't believe they're going to trade him before the deadline unless John Tavares tells them before February 26th that I'm not coming back. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to wait.
There are so many teams that look so bad at this point. They're not making the playoffs. Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, they're not making the playoffs. Don't you think they do better the faster they start moving and allowing teams to have the players they're going to get for a longer period of time? And when is this going to start if that's the case?
Well, Ellie, you know, the interesting thing about it is I don't think that the problem is an unwillingness to make deals. I just think the asks are really high. And, you know, as you said, there's a lot of teams now that are kind of waving the white flag and saying we're out. You know, what couple guys are telling me is there's actually a surplus of options now. Like, if you're looking for scoring, you've got the options of, you know, a Hoffman, you've got a Pacioretty, you've got an Evander Kane, you know, maybe a Thomas Vanek if he's on the market. You know, Detroit's tried to move Tatar and Nyquist for a while. You know, there's guys out there. Some of them have term. Some of them don't have any term. So there's chances. And I think the other thing that's happened, Elliot, is because Colorado did so well for itself in the Duchene deal, people are saying, well, we've got to do that. And I think a lot of teams are just balking at that, and they're saying there's a lot of teams here that are motivated to move guys, and we're going to have to squeeze them until they come down on their asks. And I don't think the reason that we haven't seen too many deals is there's an unwillingness to make them. I just think teams look at what's being asked for. They say that's ridiculous. This is going to come down, and we're going to take our chances that it will.
Calgary's reeling right now. Six straight losses. Now, they had won 7 before that. They still had an over 500 January, even when you don't factor in the cute little bonus points. But they've got Chicago in the late game on Saturday. They have a home-and-home, actually, against the Blackhawks. They'd be we're a couple weeks away from the deadline, a few, but they'd be a fascinating team because I think we had put them in the playoffs with their start and other teams' bad starts. Do they do anything one way or the other to react to this this terrible run they're on?
Well, you know, about a week ago I would have said no, Greg, because they got Frolik back. And, you know, now Versteeg, I think they think that Versteeg is going to play for them this year, maybe around the trade deadline. So I think they were sitting there and saying, you know what, we're going to be okay. Now I think you might be in a different situation. I think the thing that amazes me, Greg, is how fragile they are. You know, they have that mistake against Vegas, and it's, you know, it's 2-2, and the next thing you know, it's 4-2, and they lose. Last night, they go up 4-2 on Tampa, and they give up 5 in a row. And, you know, the tough one last night was Smith was rattled, and he's been a rock for them. He doesn't get rattled too often. I bet he comes out and with a great performance against Chicago tomorrow. But I just think that Flames team, for whatever reason, they're not very tough mentally. And that's a tough trade to make. Okay, we're going to change things up and bring a guy in who's tougher mentally. That's not always an easy thing to do, and I think that's one of the hardest things to fix. So I'm not sure that's a trade scenario, but I bet you they're looking.